Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, December the 18th, 2013. Hope you're having a very good day. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. And it is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. During the noon hour today, we'll look back over the 2013 session of Congress with Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor in Washington, D.C. And then world-renowned comet discoverer David Levy on what happened to Comet Ison. 30 minutes past the hour, the outgoing leader of the Community Food Bank, Bill Carnegie, will join us. Then we'll talk about the latest on the Child Protective Services crisis here in Arizona with State Senator David Bradley. If you have a comment or a question, we invite you on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 during the noon hour. You can check in with us. And we invite you also to check us out on Facebook. Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show will get you to our Facebook page. Let's go now to the nation's Capitol and Terry Bracey. Terry is our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Mo Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He is senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, hope you had a great birthday yesterday. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Bill. I did. Went out with the kids and had a nice dinner and kind of low-key, but happy to be alive and kicking.
Well, before we talk about Beltway politics, let's talk a little Wildcat sports. I know you're very excited, as are
a lot of people
in Tucson, a number one-ranked UA men's basketball team. That game with Michigan on Saturday was just amazing, going back to Michigan and winning in that atmosphere.
I'm sad to say I missed it, but wow. I saw the UNLV game back here, and I'm just amazed with the balance on the team. They've got that wonderful guard, T.J. McConnell, but they've also got these really accomplished big men, and this is as balanced a U of A basketball team as I've seen really since they won the national championship.
I would agree with you, and these are...
It's going to be fun watching them this winter.
Yeah.
I'm taken care of.
There you go. Yeah, take care of your winter months anyway.
Right.
2 weeks from today, hard to believe, New Year's Day, we're very close. Let's look back, Terry, over the next few minutes as we close the books on 2013, look back over the year in D.C. I know you said that we would get a deal, and we did. You identified some of the new emerging leaders, especially Senator Patty Murray. Has this worked out, Terry Bracey, the way you expected?
Well, Bill, to be honest, yes and no. I haven't always been right by any means. But the fundamental reality of governing never goes away, and you can't govern when you're spending all your time fighting. This was wearing thin, and I knew a deal was possible. And I knew that that deal would require more spending. In this case, it turned out to be $63 billion more in spending to get a deal, and the Republicans don't much like that. But then the Democrats were left without unemployment insurance being extended in the deal, and they're unhappy about that. The House leaders learned, I think, Bill, from the government shutdown, how badly hurt the Republican brand really was. And they were determined to find a way to a deal. I think this will calm the waters now for maybe 2 years, during which time we will have had the congressional elections.
So, Terry, are the heroes Ryan and Murray?
Yes, indeed. Two seasoned veterans of both parties who were asked by their parties to take the lead. Really a treacherous assignment. They were determined to bring some order out of chaos. I heard Senator Murray one night say that just to get a deal on anything would be kind of gratefully received. So the expectations were set low, and then these new leaders set out to make a deal, and they succeeded. Under the current sequester, spending would have been held at $967 billion. The compromise added about $60 billion, avoiding a huge one-year defense cut of $20 billion. It put a like amount of money into the social accounts for such things as energy assistance, daycare, job training, and mental health.
Well, going back to early in the year, Terry, you said that rules mattered in Congress and to keep our eyes out for procedural fights, and I guess we had some, huh?
Well, Bill, one of the really unreported stories of the year was that rules really matter. We're talking about, for example, how Speaker Boehner did away with what we call the Gebhardt Rule, which it used to be under the Gebhardt Rule, under the Democratic leader, if a Congress voted for a budget, it implied in that vote the vote for the debt extension. Well, when Speaker Boehner came in, he decided that he didn't want to do it that way. He wanted to have a separate vote every time that you extended the debt. And so a vote has been required. Under the Gebhardt Rule, we never would have had those fights, and yet they were the most bitter fights probably of this session of Congress.
Well, one wonders if he would have liked to have that one back.
Yeah, I wonder. I've often thought that. And, Bill, a second big change came when the Senate changed the filibuster rule. Presidential appointments are no longer subject to it. No longer do they need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster on an appointment made by the president. Now, some believe the GOP strategy all along has been to defeat the president's program by failing to give him a government to implement it. So a lot of potential appointments just stuck up there on the Hill and didn't move. These are key appointments that always went to presidents, but they were withheld. Cabinet secretaries, Homeland Security, Federal Reserve were threatened, key judicial appointments frozen. Finally, Democratic leader Reid, who is a traditionalist in the Senate, said he'd had enough, and the Democrats voted on what they called the nuclear option, which was to change the rule and to say that appointments from now on will be done by simple majority. And that's what happened. Bill, rules matter.
Well, Terry Bracey, we wonder, is there any victory out of this Congress? And if so, can you tell us what it is?
Well, if there is a victory, you can say maybe it exceeded expectations at the end by getting a budget deal. That deal opens the door, really, to a whole regular order on appropriations, to the mechanics of legislation flowing better. It could possibly get the next session of Congress into such things as the Water Resources Act, maybe a farm bill, maybe all 11 appropriations bills. But, of course, the big issue of next year is immigration. And Speaker Boehner has made it clear in the budget fight that he has decided he is taking charge. And he has indicated that while the House will not take up the Senate measure, which is broad and touches on every issue in the immigration area, he said the House will instead take up a series of separate bills which deal individually with each of these issues, from security to, interestingly, we'll see if they take up the citizenship issue. So the immigration bill will in every way define the next session of Congress.
Terry, what happened to the gun issue? It seems to have been taken off the radar screen.
Well, that's very sensitive to us in Tucson. And, Bill, I think the big surprise was when, in the face of all these shootings, Congress refused to pass background checks. That taught everyone a lesson. And you have to go at this problem a different way, apparently. And the Obama administration is doing just that. They have focused their investment and their policy towards mental health intervention instead. Someone made a decision that if they couldn't limit the guns, they could try to head off the shooters. And that's a policy everyone agrees with. So, Bill, this is another example of how presidents sort of work around their problems.
Finally, tell us, Terry Bracey, what were there some new trends that you noticed that will be affecting how Washington operates in the upcoming year?
Well, Bill, yeah, there is a big difference. It's called women in Congress. from the majority leader, minority leader Nancy Pelosi, to Senator Kristen Gillibrand, to Senator Patty Murray, you're seeing a new positive force on Capitol Hill. And I do think the stars in the next generation are women. We now have 20 female senators, a fifth of the Senate, and 78 women in the House, and it is making a huge difference.
Terry, we've got a minute or two left with you. Can we dive back into this budget deal? How significant was this to really get this before the Christmas holidays and not push this like some of the years past into the holiday season? There's actually going to be a Christmas this year in D.C.
Yeah, Bill, it's huge. It's huge in terms of setting the temperament for next year, number one, what I call the legislative temperament. It shows that the members have learned that there's more to be gained through swallowing hard and compromising than carrying on in front of the country and driving themselves down to 9% popularity. And then I think it's significant in another way, in that part of this deal, Bill, was to actually raise revenues. And what hasn't been focused on is the Republicans have agreed to raise $85 billion in increased revenues in this package. And those include, you know, higher airport fees, increased contributions to pension plans by federal employees, military personnel changes, changes and increased funding to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which guarantees all these pensions. And these are all user fees, but in effect they're taxes. So in a way the GOP has cracked on that issue.
Terry, this is going to be, of course, election year 2014. Historically, do things sort of, are they backburnered more in election years than they are would be otherwise? I mean, it seems many people would say that you couldn't get much worse than this past 2013 as far as accomplishing things in a session.
Yeah, well, typically, Bill, the going into an election, a Congress will be, it'll take up its serious issues in the first few months, and then we turn to politics. In this case, the one political, mandatory political act on the part of both parties is doing something about this immigration bill. I don't care which party you belong to or which way you come at this issue. We now have the leaders of American business all over Washington talking to GOP leaders saying, we've got to have an immigration bill. And we know how deeply this is felt in our area and all the way through our society.
Yeah.
So I think, Bill, while we generally would say, well, they won't take up something that controversial, I think they might. I think they will.
And Bishop Gerald Kakanis, Terry, will be our lead focus interview tomorrow. He'll have some things to say about immigration. Terry, I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season. We really support you being and appreciate you being a part of the Buckmaster Show team. Thank you, Terry.
Well, it's a privilege, and hello and happy holidays to all my friends in Tucson.
Thank you, Terry Bracey.
When you give to United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona, you create opportunities for positive change in the lives of more than 100,000 children, families, and seniors in our community. So be a part of the change. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
When you give to United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona, you create opportunities for positive change in the lives of more than 100,000 children, families, and seniors in our community. So be a part of the change. Visit UnitedWayTucson.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Sky Watchers had great hopes for a holiday season sky show, courtesy of Comet Ison. Well, the comet's ride around the sun came a little too close to the fiery giant body, quickly turning Comet Ison into ex-Comet Ison. Let's go now to Vail, Arizona on the Buckmaster Show live line, where Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, joins us now on the live line. And, of course, Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. This is a guy who really knows comets. He's discovered 23, including his co-discovery of comet Shoemaker-Levy 9. That's the one, the comet that collided spectacularly with Jupiter in 1994, produced that explosion that really was the most spectacular ever witnessed in the solar system. Too bad about Comet Ison. David, first of all, happy holiday season to you.
Well, thank you, and the same to you and your family, and we hope that new year will bring you clear sky and comets and lots of exciting events and good events.
David, what happened to the comet?
I don't know.
I thought maybe you'd have the backstory to what really happened to it.
Yes, my wife Wendy and I were going into the to visit our daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren, and on Thanksgiving Day we were able to see through the eyes of the spacecraft SOHO, the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, the comet as a nice bright streak heading close to the sun. However, what came out was very different on the other side. It was a lot more diffuse, had a lot of fans and dust around it, and as the comet moved away from the sun, it quickly dissipated. And so far, Bill, we have found nothing. People have taken pictures down to 18th magnitude and have seen absolutely nothing. So it appears that the comet did not survive its journey around the sun, and that I was wrong. I actually even had a bet with a friend of mine, a supernova discoverer named Wayne Johnson, of $1 that the comet would reach at least a magnitude zero or brighter. The comet did reach magnitude minus 2, but it was never that bright when seen with the unaided eye. And so I owe him $1. I was wrong.
Hey, that meteor shower, the Geminids, that was quite spectacular. We actually had a comet, or I guess an asteroid, that kind of... What was it that broke up over Marana a few nights ago?
Yeah, that was a bright meteor that appeared. It probably was not related to the Geminids, although it might have been. It was around the same time. But the Geminids were hindered this year because of the full moon. I watched them before as they were climbing to their maximum on the night of the 6th of December with a friend, and we were out in the observatory watching for an hour, and I saw a few of them, and it looked like it was going to be good, but I never got to see it on the night of maximum because of the bright moon and because I was out of town in New York with my wonderful wife and visiting our sisters, Wendy's sisters.
48th anniversary of the start of your comet search. How did that happen?
Well, last night at 9:52, the clock rounded 48 years since I started my comet search on the 17th of December at 1965. It was a beautiful cloudy night, but it cleared up just enough so I could search for 10 minutes between the stars Pollux and Castor in Gemini. And those were the... those were the stars that I searched at, and I still do search between those stars quite often just to see if there's anything there. It's just kind of a tradition with me that I celebrate this anniversary every December 17th. On the in 2 years from now, we have a big anniversary coming up. It'll be 50 years since I started comet searching. Right now, what's left of the comet search is mostly as an inspiration to get other people interested in the night sky, not to search for comets, because it is now virtually impossible to discover comets visually, or even for an amateur astronomer to discover them with an electronic camera, although it still can happen either way. So we'll have to see what happens. It actually brings to mind the quote of the month, which I forgot to mention to you I wanted to do this month.
Quickly, go ahead.
This month comes from George Peel, who wrote these words in 1585, comparing flowers to blazing comets. And he writes about flowers and lilies on the banks, like blazing comets under the hawthorn and the poplar tree. I think it's just beautiful how the poet just takes a small flower and blows it out of all proportion into the mighty cosmos.
David Levy, thank you so much. Very nice. By the way, we've got another meteor shower coming up, don't we, in January?
Yeah, we do. The Quadrant is on January the 4th. We also have the Ursids coming up on the 21st of December, so that's up in a few days. The moon will interfere with it a little bit, but should be fun to watch. But the Quadrant is, as you mentioned, on the morning of the 3rd or 4th of January.
Thank you so much, David. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Thank you.
I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Fed says it will reduce its $85 billion a month in bond purchases by $10 billion starting in January. The central bank citing a stronger U.S. job market, and it says it will take further steps to reduce the pace of the purchases next year if the improvement continues. In the meantime, the Fed has strengthened its commitment to record low short-term interest rates. Stock market seems to be pleased with this latest development from the Fed. The Dow is up about 140 points. Purchasers of health care coverage going to get some additional time to pay. The health insurance industry says consumers who select a plan by Monday of next week will have until January 10th to pay their first month's premium. And once again on Wall Street, stocks are higher. The NASDAQ is up 6 points and S&P better by 11. This is SRN News.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Thank you.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:35 on this midweek edition. Let's welcome now Bill Carnegie, President and CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Bill, good to see you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. You are winding up 8 years as leader of the Community Food Bank. At the end of the year, you'll be moving on to consult with really other nonprofits, correct?
That's right. Form my own consulting firm, going to help other people raise money and become more efficient.
Michael McDonald will be taking over as the new president and CEO at the first of the year. Michael, you a guy you've known for a long time?
Yeah, I've known. I met Michael early after I arrived here in Tucson. He's a great guy, excellent leader, and I think he's going to really challenge the staff there and move the organization forward and assist even more people.
The holiday time of the year, a very difficult time for many families. What about this challenge that has been put forth by, I guess, four local families, correct?
Right, yeah. It's kind of spearheaded by the Jim Click Family Foundation, but we have some other people that have jumped on the bandwagon there and put up $110,000 for a holiday match. So right now, every dollar that's donated to the Community Food Bank is going to be matched by these families, up to $110,000. And, it's just a wonderful opportunity end of the year to, you can get that charitable tax credit and, get your money matched as well.
How difficult a year has this been for the food bank?
Well, every year for the past 8 years has been challenging. The economy, even though people say it's improving, we still struggle. There's still increases in the number of people seeking assistance, and it's always a challenge. Right now, we're down about $300,000 in our fundraising compared to last year at this time. So definitely a time when people could help out with participating in this challenge.
How has the need grown in the community?
It's really been over the last 6 years, we've gone from assisting about 98,000 people a month to now 225,000 men, women, and children across Southern Arizona. So it's definitely challenging times.
How many people need food assistance out of the percentage-wise usually in this community? I've heard as high as 1 in 3.
Well, it's actually and it varies depending on the time of the year and what's happening. It's a little bit better in the winter months, the summer, when a lot of the winter visitors leave and kids are out of school, it certainly becomes more challenging. So the number we typically use is about 25% of the population relies on the Community Food Bank for at least some assistance during any particular month.
It's hard, I know, for you to say goodbye.
Well, it's...
You've really been a fixture in this community, and you've done a terrific job and made so many friends here, but you're going to be in town.
I am staying in town for the foreseeable future. You know, it's been a great opportunity for me. I've had the opportunity to work with some absolutely wonderful people. We have a great staff. We have a great board. There, you know, this is a wonderful caring community, and we would not be as successful as an organization without that community support.
It's a tough one, though, because you've got the rankings. We're number 8 in terms of poverty. We're up a little bit, almost out of the top 10, but we were 6 for many years. We're now number 8. It's still a very poor community.
It is a very poor community, but when it comes to ranking of food banks, we're one of the top food banks in the nation. So, you know, that all just shows that we have that community support and understanding of the poverty problem here in Southern Arizona.
Bill Carnegie, President and CEO of Community Food Bank, want to wish you all the best this holiday season and your future endeavors. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill, for all of your support over these last 8 years.
Thank you very much. Last month's shocking revelation that thousands of reports of child abuse and neglect have gone without investigation prompted 3 state investigations into the Child Protective Services in Arizona. Joining me in studio, State Senator David Bradley, a Democrat from Tucson representing District 10. Senator Bradley is a health care administrator, currently Chief Development Officer for La Frontera. He's the former CEO of La Paloma Family Services. Senator Bradley, good to see you.
Good to see you as well, Bill. Thanks.
What is your feeling about you know, we've heard so much about CPS, but as you wrote in the Arizona op-ed piece, it's kind of a vicious cycle that continues, isn't it?
Right, and it's exacerbated this time around by, you know, what we kind of say we're paying the piper. And the piper has come back, and he's come back with a vengeance with his friends, poverty, violence, substance abuse, and mental illness. And we said this 4 or 5 years ago that if we cut off the front end of services, this round of problems would be worse, and lo and behold, it is.
Now, you say in your op-ed piece that CPS's performance becomes news usually when it's negative. It's a thick catalog, you write, of saved lives and averted crisis. It's rarely, though that part of it's rarely newsworthy, but they do some good things, many good things.
Yeah, they do many, many good things.
But that's never talked about.
Yeah, the exception are these tragedies that you hear about. Many good things that the CPS does has saved many, many children in this community.
Senator Bradley, our friend Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star wrote an editorial in Sunday's Star, Arizona has no choice but to overhaul CPS. Would you agree with Sarah?
Yes, and I think that, you know, as I mentioned in my editorial, of stepping back and looking at the broader issues of children's services, not only at CPS, but juvenile justice, mental health, and getting these resources together so that we can overcome this problem and stop this cycle.
How do we stop it?
Well, I think it's going to eventually, we're going to need money. There's no doubt about that. But I think we also need a good plan that musters the resources of the state. We do a lot of different services for kids in different silos. And my point is let's bring this together. Let's bring behavioral health, juvenile justice, and child protective services. Let's combine those efforts as much as we possibly can, save some money in doing that, but knowing that, you know, we're going to have to – it's going to cost money to get out of this problem as well.
Will this be a marquee issue in the new session or not?
I think so. I think, you know, the governor – if the governor chooses to bring attention to something, that usually happens. And certainly this has her attention, and I'm hopeful that we can make some headway for once and break this – cycle.
Should there be a change at the top?
Well, I think ultimately there should be, or at least a moving out of the CPS from under the current director's purview, one or the other, because I think it's too big of an issue and too big of a problem for him to be able to get his arms around in short term.
Foster homes just can't seem to get enough people willing to step up.
Right. It's tough. It's a very tough request that we make of people, especially for adolescents. It's hard to find homes for kids over 12 years of age, and it's always been a challenge in the 30 years that I've been in child welfare. That hasn't changed much.
And the availability, it's just, what is the problem? People just don't want to take that they don't want to take that step to really help out these kids?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that would, and some people just don't even know that they have that option. But it is a challenge to take another child into your home, especially an older child. And raising them as teenagers, it's a difficult task, and we need to have supports in place, and that's one of the things that's missing, which was there in the past, was having more supports available to foster homes, which we currently don't have.
So we're going to have three different panels looking at this. In hindsight, did the governor make the right decision maybe not doing the special session?
Yeah, I think, I was there when we did special session 10 years ago, and that was 70 days long. I don't want to see that again. That was, it was productive in some ways, but in other ways it was a disaster. So I think you have to have a good plan before you call a special session, and I have great confidence in Charles Flanagan. He's one of the stars in the administration as far as kids are concerned. He's a very, very competent man.
State Senator David Bradley, thank you for stopping by and talking about CPS and some of your feelings about it. And we'll look forward to talking with you as the session gets underway, really just in a few weeks now.
Yes, we're almost there. Yeah, away we go.
Senator Bradley, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Superstars of the University of Arizona College of Science series. Get to know the College of Science at the University of Arizona. Check out their website, cos.arizona.edu, and you can find out the amazing things that are going on at the U of A College of Science. Our Superstars of Science series today focuses on Dr. Andy Cohen. Dr. Cohen graduated from UC Davis. He taught at Colorado College, a small liberal arts school in Colorado Springs, before coming to the University of Arizona in 1986. His primary appointment at the U of A is in the Department of Geosciences, but he also has a courtesy joint appointment with the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. His research interest focuses on the study of lakes and the surrounding environment history, from investigating lake sediments and fossils collected in cores and outcrops. In 2003, he wrote the leading textbook in the field. He's done a tremendous amount of work in the lakes region of East Africa. Andy Cohen joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Professor, how are you today?
Fine. Thank you for inviting me, Bill.
I want to talk about the current research project. You're the lead principal investigator of a $10 million research project that is funded by several grants, which has been doing drilling work in East Africa. It's a five-year project involving over 50 scientists from nine countries. What exactly, Dr. Cohen, are you hoping to find out during this project?
Well, the project is called the Hominin Sites and Paleo Lakes Drilling Project, and hominins is the name that anthropologists and geologists give to our group of close relatives, the fossil record of human beings going back over the last 6 million years since the split of humans from the lineage that becomes the chimpanzees and other great apes. And the objective of this project is really to look at the environment and climate context of human origins, of human evolution in East Africa. So lakes are great repositories for environmental history. We can get climate records. We can learn about the environment that these early humans were living in, and hopefully understand something about the conditions that may have driven their evolution and the extinction of all the species of hominins except for ourselves. So there, over the history of the last 6 million years, there have been quite a number of species, most of which evolved in Africa and most of which went extinct in Africa. So we're trying to understand the linkages between climate history and our own history. And this is a subject that has fascinated paleontologists and biologists going back to the time of Charles Darwin. So it's the leap that we're trying to take in this project and to transform the debate is to really get very detailed records of climate over this time period in the same areas where these early people lived, and to use that to not only to reconstruct the environment but to understand how it may have driven our own origins.
And East Africa, of course, Professor Cohen, is known as the cradle of human origins, and I've been fortunate enough to travel a couple of times to the area of East Africa and visited some of that, the lakes region, Lake Nakuru, where the beautiful flamingo birds reside. I'm not sure if they're still in that area.
They are. They the flamingos move around a bit when the conditions in one lake get not so good. They usually move to another. But we saw a lot of them when we were out there drilling. In fact, one of our sites is just maybe about 40 or 50 miles north of there.
But it's a sight I will never forget, seeing, you know, just these thousands of flamingos in Lake Nakuru. And ancient lake deposits, Professor, are very common in the Rift Valley of Africa. And why is that? Why is that area so conducive for water collecting extensively in that area?
Well, the Rift Valley is a place where the African continent is being pulled apart today, eventually by the tectonic plate forces that create the crust of our Earth. Eventually, Africa will separate into two continents. And before that happens, the process is leaving behind this great scar or rift that cuts through the African continent. And as a hole in the ground, a long, extensive hole that runs all the way up to basically up to Israel, it's leaving behind a place that gets filled in by the mountains around it with sediments and water. And that process has been going on for millions of years. So we have just a natural laboratory for looking at the history of not just humans, but all the animals and plants that have lived in the Rift Valley in that part of Africa.
And why is this so interesting? Why should we be, all of us, be interested in this? And how does it tie in to climate change?
Well, I think that this project really is at the intersection of two very hot-button and interesting issues for society, both the study of human evolution and the study of climate change. And although we can't speak directly to the impacts of environmental and climate change that are occurring today and affecting our own species, certainly these close relatives would have been affected as Earth's climate got warmer and colder, or in East Africa it's primarily getting wetter and drier. And these are issues that we have to face today. The southwestern part of the United States is undergoing significant climate change, and we want to understand how our close relatives dealt with this. Obviously, in some respect, they didn't deal very well because they're all extinct except for us.
That's right. So we really, this whole understanding of this relationship, is it kind of a new endeavor for science?
I think it's gone back quite a ways in time. As I said, people have been interested in the climate-human evolution connection really back to the time of Charles Darwin's book, The Descent of Man. But it's really what's transforming this now and is exciting for us is that we're bringing all kinds of new analytical tools, both at the U of A and at our many partner institutions on this project, that can analyze and tell us, for example, just exactly what was the temperature, or how much did it rain, and what was the landscape like in terms of the plants and animals that these early people would have had to eat and get shelter from. So it's our ability to reconstruct this in much more detail and also to get these very detailed records with new technologies that we've been developing for drilling these records. Because it's not like just drilling an oil well. There's a lot involved when you want to get sediment out of the ground in a very complete way and a very continuous way.
We're speaking with Dr. Andy Cohen, Professor Cohen, in our Superstars of Science series presented by the University of Arizona College of Science. And I wanted to talk a little bit about just the drilling process alone. Is this a highly technical process, and do you need a huge team to do the drilling, and how deep do you go?
Well, the drill rigs themselves are not anything special. They're the kind of drill rigs that people would use routinely for example, for collecting samples to determine where to put a mine in or a dam. They're referred to as geotechnical drilling rigs. They're smaller than what you would have seen if you've seen an oil field drilling rig, but a little larger than a water well drilling rig. But it's the tools that we use with those rigs that are really more specialized and have been developed by scientists both interested in collecting samples on the continents and also in the oceans. And there's an entire science behind this in developing the techniques to capture these samples very continuously. The scientists don't want any gaps in the record. They want the sediments to be completely undisturbed, and they want to know the orientation of them, all of which are very important for determining how old the sediments are and making sure that you don't have any gaps in that record.
How can folks find out more about this project?
Well, they can go to our Facebook page. If they just look at HSPDP, they will find that immediately.
That's HSP like Paul, D like David, P like Paul.
Correct. And they can also go to our website, which is hosted by our sister institution, Arizona State, and that's hspdp.asu.edu.
And I understand there's a film being made?
Yeah, this is one of the really exciting outreach aspects of this project. We're working with an organization called Earth Images Foundation, which specializes in earth science films for PBS and the like. And they're developing a 3D film, which we will be showing at the Cal Academy of Sciences, at the U of A, at the Smithsonian and at various institutions in Africa. And I'll have a video projector, a 3D video projector, so we can take this on the road and actually show it in a village in Africa.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dr. Cohen, Andy Cohen, professor of geosciences at the University of Arizona, part of our Superstars of Science series presented by the University of Arizona College of Science, getting ready for their big lecture series in January. We'll be telling you more about that in the new year. Dr. Cohen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. And speaking of the holidays, our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors on the Buckmaster Show, want me, and I gladly do it, welcoming all of our Southern Arizona listeners. Have a great holiday on behalf of Silver City. Only three and a half hours east of Tucson. So many great things to do over there, including the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings, which are just north of Silver City. Find out more on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, with the full listing of places to stay over there, including Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Thank you to Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are presented with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Everyone likes the arrangement, and on behalf of the Culligan people, they also want to wish everyone on the Buckmaster Show listening audience a very happy holidays. John C. Scott, this afternoon, 3 to 5 here on KVOI. Then it's Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning with Chris and Joe. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brad, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.